All God's people said, amen. Thank you, This Hope. I was here first time you came in the old building. I think Fred and Marjorie Barr had heard you at a music conference, possibly. And he told me, I'm inviting this group called This Hope. Man, what a fantastic service. And I tell you why, we've had you back through the years. Always above reproach. You guys are practicing Christians. You're the real deal, and we're just so thankful that you've come. Let's give them another round of applause, okay? Reason why we had you back around 2000 is the same reason they hired me as pastor. When you came the first time, I was 16 and had black hair, weighed 120 pounds, and God called me here where I couldn't damage too many people, and so we thought that was a good idea for you as well. I want you to know we're only having two groups this year, and you're first. Thank you for coming. We've got another group we're trying to help their resume. It's called the Annie Moses Band. They're coming in December. So I hope you'll show up and encourage those folks. They need your encouragement. And I'd never heard of them before they came here last time, and wow, I've never seen anything quite like it. We're so blessed in this little place to have people like This Hope come and lead worship with us. Well, today I'm going to look at just one verse. And this is a text that you often hear read at funerals. And people are looking for hope and assurance through this, but we're not going to be concerned about funerals today. Notice what he says here. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Isn't that a great verse for 2020? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship through song today. Thank you for the strong witness that This Hope has had through the years that they've been touring this nation. And now, as they begin another chapter in their journey, may they have a stronger influence for you than ever before. Thank you for the encouragement, the inspiration that is given to us through the ministry you've given to them. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. As we look at this message today, as we talk about worry and anxiety, pray that people will be saved. Pray that people will decide they'll just trust you and leave all the results in their lives in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Staying calm when the cool is gone. Pastor of a large church asked his chief sound technician, what is the number one subject of the podcast that people click on to from my ministry? And here's what he said. He said, it's the subject of anxiety. Some of the employees of Facebook did a survey, and what they were looking at was what people think about the most. And here's what they found out. He said, people worry about their kids and their grandkids. They worry about what's coming next in our future. They're worried about money. They're worried about failure. They're worried about age and their health. We can struggle with a variety of reasons that we worry, but as long as we're not in control of everything, there's always, always, always going to be things that trouble us. While Jesus was on his way to the cross, he gave a discourse to his disciples. I encourage you sometime later today to read John chapter 13. We move on to chapter 14, and because of what they had heard in chapter 13, they were shaken. They were anxious. Jesus told them, let not your heart be troubled. That word trouble there means to be shaken. It literally means to tremble. It means to be stirred. And the reason why the Lord's disciples were troubled is because of what Jesus said in chapter 13. He said, I'm going to leave you. Now think about that. He called them from their businesses, from their boats, and from their families. And now about 3.5 years later, he says, I'm going to leave you. And then he talks about the hurtfulness of being betrayed. And then he begins to share about the agony he's going to face on the cross. Here are the disciples, and they're just facing days that are troubling and disturbing. During these last days for us before Jesus returns, I want you to know we're going to have troubling times like we're experiencing right now. We don't have to live with troubled hearts. We don't have to be all shook up and live in fear. Jesus lets us know, don't let your hearts tremble. Don't let yourself be troubled. So let's look here at this text a little closer here. Notice our familiarity with troubles causes us anxiety. Not one time in the Bible do we find that we are never going to have troubles. When you look in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Really doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is, what stage of life you're in. You're always going to have troubles that come to life. You can be living right. You can be doing the right things. You can do your best to avoid troubles, but sooner or later, they're coming our way. There's a photographer for a national magazine who was sent to take pictures of some wildfires like are taking place out west. He tried to get as close as he could to the source of the fires. He couldn't do it, so the magazine company called him and said, look, we're going to charter a private plane. We want you to go on that plane, the plane fly into the smoke as far as you can get to the source and take pictures. So he rushed to the nearest local airport where he was told the charter would be waiting. He had all of his camera equipment. He took it out of his van. He rushed out onto the runway. There was a private plane warming up. He went to the door of the private plane, climbed up the steps, opened the door, threw all of his photography equipment in, and he said, take off. And the pilot took off. Plane was going against the wind, began to rise and rise and rise. He said, turn towards that smoke over there. And he said, I want you to make 3 very low passes at the source of this fire. And the pilot said, you want me to do what? He said, I've got to take some pictures over there. He said, that's what photographers do. We take pictures. The pilot said, I thought you was my flight instructor. It's time for trouble. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me quickly. There's a difference in troubles and aggravation. If you go home today and your refrigerator quit working and all your food is ruined, that's an aggravation. I've been here before. Get a call at the office. The lady says, you got to come quick. We're taking on water. The feeder line to the hot water heater had a sheetrock nail in it. Took it 12 years to rust through the copper line. Took out 3 rooms in my house. That's an aggravation. You go home today and your dog has chewed up the bath mat in your bathroom. That's your fault. You got a dog in your house. That's an aggravation. But listen to me carefully. When I talk about troubles, I'm talking about something that unsettles you, that really jars your nerves, that really gets down into your soul. There's some things that we didn't need to know about troubles. First of all, times we feel stressed, these troubles come in all shapes and sizes. Many of you have lost your jobs during the pandemic. Some of you have had your salaries cut 20, 30, 40, 50%. Then there's the financial stress of not having enough money or no money left at all. Their family matters. Sometimes it's a husband, a wife relationship. Sometimes it's your children. They're not right with the Lord. It's an area that Satan usually attacks first will be our family. Then there's physical health, unexpected illness, heart discomfort. There's cancer. There's accidents. There's danger. There's a threat of violence. There's a terrorist attack. Grief. Listen, think about this. This year at Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's going to be an empty chair at somebody's table here because God took your loved one home. There's personal anxiety. Some people feel like things are just piling on and there's just no relief in sight. Now, there are people who actually think that they're going to escape troubles. But I want you to know my advice to them was, do not let your guard down. The second thing I want you to see here, not only the times we feel stressed, but also the short fuse. I know some people that act very prideful. They're just strong. And they're used to people coming to them for counsel. But I've seen some of them, when not aggravations but trouble comes, I've seen some of them, their life totally falls apart because their trust has been in themselves. They see themselves as very courageous people rather than getting that courage by living a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. I read about a man the other day who owned a lot of oil wells in Ohio. One of them caught on fire. And so he put out a plea to all the counties around him. He wanted all the latest fire equipment, the best fire teams to come in. He offered $30,000 for somebody to put out the source of the fire in his well so he wouldn't lose that well. And so I want you to know about 8 different fire districts sent their best truck and their best crews. And I want you to know the closest they could get to that fire was 200 yards. The heat was too great. They sprayed water, they sprayed chemicals, and nothing happened. They'd been there about 2 hours fighting this fire to no avail. And about that time, a little town about like Aragon sent their only volunteer crew on their fire truck. The fire truck was rusted. It was rickety. They had one ladder. The truck didn't have a hose. And I want you to know the truck was equipped with a few men. They had 3 5-gallon buckets of sand. They had 3 5-gallon buckets of water. And they had some blankets. They had one little red light on the top and one little siren that sounded like it had laryngitis. And they came rushing through. And I want you to know that when they got 200 yards out where the other firefighters were parked, the driver went straight on through and all the way to the source of the fire. They got up and all the men, when they got off the truck, they almost burned up. They threw all 3 buckets of sand on the source of the fire. They threw all 3 buckets of water on the fire. Then they took their blankets with their lives, just being threatened by this, and they beat out the fire. Finally, there was nothing left but smoke. The owner of the corporation had offered $30,000 to anybody who could put out the fire. He came up with a $30,000 check to the volunteer fire department. He handed it to the driver and said, what are you going to do with this $30,000? And the driver of the truck was just shaking. He said, the first thing we're going to do is fix the stupid brakes on this fire engine. Now listen to me carefully. You better be trusting God for your strength. And then don't, this is a real Greek word for you, don't get snookered. Don't get tricked. Listen to me. Satan likes to come along with believers when you're experiencing not aggravation, but you're experiencing trouble. And say, it's because of sin in your life that this has come your way. Don't always believe that. Now, we can make some bad choices and troubles come our way. But I want you to know what I'm talking about is when we're living a lifestyle that honors God and then troubles come our way. If you're a Christian, you need to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to reveal anything in your life that you need to confess and that He needs to cleanse. And I'll make you a promise. 100% of the time, when you get on your knees before God and ask Him to convict you of something that's not going to be there, He'll do it. There are Christians who are not living in sin, and the devil's telling you, you don't have the faith you need. Your faith is too weak. I want to remind you that if you have believed God concerning your salvation, then believe God with your family, with your finances, with your joy, your physical disabilities, and with your future. The devil will tell some of you, how can you sing in front of others when you go, you got premeditated habitual sin in your life? Well, you need to get that out. You're going through trouble right now. Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. How can you stand up and preach before a congregation? You got some marriage difficulty. How in the world can you be out here teaching children in children's ministry? If you're a Christian and you know that your heart is right with God, I want you to understand that your troubles can give you the greatest power you've ever experienced. Troubles do not disqualify us as Christians from doing something great for God. Paul had some real trouble. He was put in prison for preaching the gospel. Paul was given by Satan a thorn in the flesh that troubled him. It beat him down. But Paul gave a wonderful testimony. He says, God's grace has been sufficient. His strength is perfect in my weakness. I will glorify in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God took a weakness, a trouble in Paul's life, and gave him a testimony of strength. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Satan wants to magnify your trouble. The devil will magnify your trouble. He'll deceive you and trick you into thinking there's no way out of your situation. He will push you in a corner. He will make you feel hopeless. He'll make you feel depressed. He wants you to think that God can never use you again on the face of this earth in ministry. This is the end. You're finished. The other thing I want you to write down is don't get snookered, but don't get sidetracked. Troubles many times distract us from worship. There are people that say, you know, I just can't worship anymore. I come to church, I can't worship anymore. Let me tell you one of the reasons why you don't worship anymore, because you're out of the Word. If you don't get in the Word, you're not going to worship. There's some who've stopped attending church because of their troubles. What's amazed me through the years, I've only been pastoring 39 years, but I can't tell you how many couples all of a sudden just disappear and families just disappear. We call them and say, we missed you. Is something we can help you with? No, we're fine. What it is, they're having horrible marriage problems. And the first thing they do is stop coming to church. They stop coming to the place where they can get the answer to their troubles. Some people say, well, I just find it hard to worship around other people. It just doesn't feel right. I've had people visit here before, and as you can see, we're like everybody else. We're running about a fourth during the pandemic. But back in the day, they said, we can't come to this church. Your church is too big. I say, I think heaven's going to be a big place. You're going to have trouble with that. Think about Paul, Silas, Acts chapter 16. They're in prison. They've been beaten. Understand, the prisons back then were not the Ritz-Carlton. And guess what Paul and Silas, they were doing? They began to praise God. They began to worship in prison. If you want to get in the mood to worship and get into a certain feeling to worship, then you turn your eyes upon who? King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't be distracted by your situation. Don't be distracted by how you feel. And you turn towards God. I love this. Truth, not your troubles, has everything to do with worship. who God is and not what we're going through has everything to do with worship. You don't have to be distracted. You don't have to be hindered. You don't have to be deceived. You don't have to feel pressured by troubles. God is still on the throne. Don't allow your troubles to overtake you and make you lose your focus on Christ. Now listen to this statement. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's speaking? Jesus. Listen to this carefully. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes the statement. There was a baby in a restaurant who just started screaming and yelling. You know, we're in a restaurant and we hear a baby screaming and yelling. We just hope the waitress will hurry up with the food. You know, that usually takes care of it. But this child was just totally out of control. And I want you to know the mother went over, picked the child up out of the little seat there, and she began to whisper in the child's ear and began to stroke her little back and began to hug her a little bit. And just a few minutes, guess what? Total quiet. And let me tell you what would happen if I had gone over and picked up that little girl and whispered in the ear. She would have spit up on me immediately. And I stroke her in the back. They'd call defects because they'd say he's probably a predator or something like that. And that child would have screamed her lungs completely out. Why was the mother able to do this? Because the mother's voice was certain, assuring, familiar and soothing. Let not your heart be troubled, because the voice of Jesus is familiar, is soothing, is certain and assuring. Now watch this carefully. You may be facing some troubles and heartaches of great proportion, but remember, it's the still, small voice of the Lord that speaks to us. Somebody said God never speaks audibly. He speaks in that still, small voice. His still, small voice is louder than any audible voice. You can stop up your ears to an audible voice, but you can't get away from the still, small voice. And notice the faith it takes. Notice the word believe in this verse. Believe and faith in the New Testament mean basically the same thing. Faith doesn't necessarily mean having facts about God in your mind. Faith means having your heart surrendered completely, fully to God. Look at this word faith. It means to rely on. It means to rest in. It means to lean on, put your confidence in someone or something. Let me give you two acrostics here very quickly on faith. You can make up your own devotion, your own message out of this. Just write down the word faith. And then next to F, put forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Got that? Then put faith down again. Full assurance in the heart. Full assurance in the heart. Real faith in God, fully surrendering my life into God's hand, does not mean that I go around pretending to be strong. It means that I'm admitting that I'm weak. That compels me to ask God for help. Now let's think about the disciples. We've totally surrendered ourselves to you, Lord, and now you say, you know, you're going to be betrayed. Talking about the hurt of that. You're talking about a cross. And the other thing, you're talking about leaving. Chapter 14, verse 1, he starts out saying, let not your hearts be troubled. So what did that conjure up in the minds of the disciples? This is just my interpretation. This is just my speculation. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in what? You believe also in me. You believe in God. What does that conjure up? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The God who created all things. He says, you believe in God. What does that conjure up in their mind? Well, it might just say to them that this is the same God of our forefathers. It might just conjure up in their mind, we're thinking about God who led the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It might just conjure up in their thinking, this is the same God who divided the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea, and then allowed the sea to come in after the children of Israel through safely, and he destroyed the Egyptian army. They were thinking about the God who brought water out of a rock. They were thinking about the God who is more than enough. They were thinking about God who gave the children of Israel the promised land. When Jesus told the disciples, believe in God, he was telling them to believe in God's absolute sovereignty. We believe in Almighty God. He is the one who's all sufficient. He is the one that is in complete control. Jesus didn't want his disciples to look at their circumstances or listen to the voice of their enemy. Jesus didn't want them to depend on the weakness of their flesh. He wanted the disciples to believe in divine revelation. Here's what he's telling them. God rules. God reigns. God is high as lifted up. God knows all things. And God will be to you everything you need, everything you desire, and much more. I think if I didn't believe God was in control in 2020, I'd lose my mind. There's just so much going on around us, and I preached on that the last two Sundays. I know that God's in control because he teaches us in the Word that he is in control. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith enlarges and increases in your heart when you hear, read, believe, and rest in what he says. Someone put it this way. Simple belief in God has never cured trouble. You're still going to have troubles whether you believe God or not. Believing in God, believing in who he is and what he has said will help you as you face your troubles. A businessman was going to travel to a small town. He was on the road a lot. So he told his wife, he said, I want you to go with me on this trip. He said, I've chartered a twin-engine Cessna, got a private plane, private pilot. She said, thank you for the invitation. I won't be going with you. And he said, what's wrong? Is your faith too small? She said, no, your plane is too small. And so he said, okay, I'll work this out. So he canceled the charter. And he bought tickets on a huge commercial airliner. He went back to his wife and said, are you going to go with me? She said, oh, yes, I'm going with you. Why did she go with him? Because her faith grew with the size of the plane. The object of her faith determined how much faith she had. So Jesus said, believe also in me. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. God came to where we are in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came from heaven to earth to rub shoulders with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. This means that we go to Jesus with our burdens. God knows exactly how it feels. John 13, 21. Hear what Jesus told the disciples. And when Jesus had thus said he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Jesus could honestly say from a physical point of view, he says, I know what it feels like to have a troubled heart, and I know the emotions you're feeling. So he could say, let not your heart be troubled, because he had experienced pain before. Jesus' face troubles that we face. So when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a troubled heart, he'll comfort you by saying, I know how you feel. And he says, I know what you will need to get through it. And ladies and gentlemen, if we trust the Lord like this, let me tell you about the freedom that we experience. First thing I want you to see here is you're not going to get relief from fatalism. Remember Job's wife, when they experienced their crisis, what'd she say? Curse God and die. You ever been around people just negative all the time? People negative all the time, just feels like somebody has hit a main artery in my arm and they have overdrawn some blood out of me. They just make me weak. I just don't like to be around negative people. In fact, lots of times when negative people are coming around me, you've got to have good lungs and good legs because I'm going to keep walking while you're talking. Do you understand that? It's a pretty good thing. It's not in Scripture, but it works. But I want you to know here, the other things that are not going to get you through is the power of positive thinking. Something good is going to happen in this mess. I know a lot of people who've gone to hell with a positive attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get relief from denying your emotions. I tell people when they're going through the grief process, they say, well, Pastor, I just can't cry right now. I say, well, that's normal. That's called shock. That'll get you through the funeral. Celebration of the life. Then they come back and say, now, Pastor, now I've got uncontrolled emotions. I'm just driving down the highway, not even thinking about my loved one went to heaven, and I'm just crying all over the place. Then they say, well, I'm depressed now. Later on, they say, well, I'm experiencing guilt. And when I talk, there's real guilt, and then there's false guilt. If you took care of your loved one all the way up till God took them home, you don't have anything to feel guilty about. Man, I'm feeling loneliness now. Nobody knows what I'm feeling. In fact, I'm feeling loneliness, depression, and uncontrolled emotion at the same time. When you talk about the grief process, there are 10 stages, and it takes 2 years minimum to experience intense grief. Do you know what? God made our minds so we experience emotions. If you didn't experience any emotions, you would then have a nervous breakdown. You might as well face the fact that we're going to worry about some things. It's sinful. This is the reason why Jesus taught so much about trusting him and not worrying about your situation. I want you to know that you're even going to have doubts. Sometimes you'll have doubts about your salvation when you're going through troubles. That's normal, and God can handle that. You get back in the Word to overcome that. That's the reason the Holy Spirit moved upon John to write the whole book of 1 John. Jesus knew that we were going to have doubts. You may be sitting here thinking, well, where is my relief? Isn't that what we're looking for when we're in trouble anyway? God, get me out of this mess. Well, you keep talking about relief. Where do we find it? You find relief in what Jesus said. He says, believe also in me. Bring our troubles to him. Yeah, do what we can do as if it all depends on us. But then we pray and cast our burdens upon him because he cares for us. Listen carefully. Jesus came and took the penalty for our sins on Calvary's cross. We trust him with our soul for eternity. Let me ask you a question. Why is it we can't trust him with the troubles that come into our lives? You need to take what Jesus says very seriously. And you need to take what's bringing anxiety and give it to Christ. Let me tell you something that's troubled me through the years. And Warren is sort of one of my accountability partners. He's not always mentally stable, but that's a pretty good match for me. But you know, one thing I've dealt with is just people. People are just unpredictable. I don't use curse words. People are just unpredictable. But you know what? I've had to come to the point, and I know I've disappointed people and disappointed me, and I've disappointed them. But here's what I had to come to. Sometimes people that trouble you the most, you just have to give them over to God. They're not your responsibility. Because if you carry that all around all the time, you're going to be the most bitter person on the face of the earth. And it's not hurting them. It's hurting you. And you know what? Even with people in relationships, that's what he's saying. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Give this over to God. Think about Christ. He healed diseases. He overcame death. He conquered demons. He handled the betrayal, rejection, faced temptation and overcame it without sin. In fact, he's conquered the power of sin for you and me. The shoulders of the Lord are big enough and strong enough to bear all our troubles, our anxieties, our weak will, our family matters, our business, our job, our hang-ups, our heartaches, our finances. And you know what? Every one of us has a dysfunctional family, starting with you and me. He can handle it. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me because I really care about you. Come to me, those who are weak, heavy laden, and I'll give you less. Rest. Listen, there's one man that put it best. Here's what he said. We listen too much to ourselves. Don't listen to you. You need to talk to you. You need to tell yourself to listen to what the Word of God says. Because prayer stops us from worrying, and peace keeps us from worrying. You ever been on a Navy ship before? I have a little claustrophobia. My brother was on the USS Richard Krauss, went to Vietnam twice. That was an old ship. So I went below deck with him down to the sleeping quarters. Ladies and gentlemen, the aisles were like this wide. And then they had what they call racks where they all slept. One size fits all. I was the only person that would fit in one of those racks. I mean, they're that far apart, and they stack 4 or 5 high. Wow. That ship was so bad, in such disrepair, right after he finished his 4 years and 2 tours of duty. They took the Richard Krauss out to sea and blew it up. I was reading the other day about a submarine. Now, that's something I can't do. Get in a submarine. Let's just go down several miles. Spend a couple of days. I can't do that. I just can't do that. Now, if you sedate me, I can go do that, but it's got to be more than one Ambien for that. It's going to take 3 or 4 of those. But anyway, this captain took his crew down, and they were thousands and thousands and thousands of feet. Stayed under about a week, and when they surfaced, they went back into the harbor. The master of the harbor came to the captain of the ship. He said, man, we had one of the worst storms. It was almost like a hurricane that hit here 2 days ago. How did that affect your submarine? captain said, we didn't even know we had a storm. Because when you get so far down in the ocean, there's an area there that's called the cushion of the sea. And it doesn't matter how hard the winds blow and how big the waves are and how much it floods the beach area. You just can't tell anything's going on down in that submarine. Listen to me carefully if you don't hear anything else I've got to say. God's peace is our cushion from the stormy seas of life that worries us. Listen carefully. We find ourselves filled with the worried man blues. Then remember what God's word says. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And God will gladden and guard your heart with his peace. COVID-19, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, but I'm going to tell you, we can't see an end to that right now. When the vaccine comes out, 51% of Americans are predicted not to take the vaccine. Some have good reasons not to. Listen, suppose that's worldwide. You can't kill the virus. Remember polio? When I was a kid, if you didn't take the polio vaccine, you didn't get in school. And you know what happened? We killed off polio with the vaccine. We need to be ready in case we get COVID and it takes us out. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. I've already met with our staff. I've talked to Delaine. If COVID takes me out, I know where I'm going when I die. You know, our first responders and those in the medical field, they need to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Two reasons. For the risk they put themselves at, and then the patients they have that can't even see their pastor, they can't even see their family, they have an opportunity to share Christ with the patients they have. Presidential election, come Lord Jesus. Wouldn't the rapture be a whole lot better than the presidential election? Especially if it comes out one way. I'm looking for another. But you know what? We can't let that keep us awake 24 hours because what? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Christ is in control of my life. And that's the way. That's the way that I can just simply stay calm when all my cool is gone. What about you? Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. And we go back to this John 14:1. That is just a verse that we're too familiar with, that we just skip over like a rock being thrown across a glass surface type pond. Thank you for giving your disciples and giving us your word that you're sovereign. We need to place our faith and trust in you. And you are there for our aggravations. Most of all, you're there for our troubles. We just trust in you. Pray for our nation today. How we need an evangelical revival. But all we can do is what we can do. But this mess that we're in is so much bigger than we are. And you can handle it. We trust you for that. There are people here today who got a bad diagnosis this week. There are people here today that heard that their jobs were not going to be secure. We've got people here today that children might not be very obedient right now, and they're working on how to be godly parents, to invest a heritage of faith in their children. We got people here that would never admit it, but finances are a problem. Lord, I pray they'll cast all their cares on you because you care for us. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, and Lord, listen, Christ came, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial, substitutionary death on the cross to pay for our salvation, which is just a fancy way of saying, with his blood, he purchased your free gift of salvation. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Would you do that right now? Maybe you're here today and you've already made that decision. You need to make it public. What we want you to do is, at the end of the service, go to the welcome desk. Our host or hostess will set you up with one of our staff members, and we'll be glad to meet with you. Maybe you're thinking about trusting Christ. Please go to the information desk of the Welcome Center. One of our staff members will meet with you. Some of you have been a guest here for quite some time, and God's given you peace that he wants you to be a part of this little ministry in Silver Creek. I invite you to come to the welcome desk today as well. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for decisions that are about to be made, that they would bring honor and glory to your name. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If you're watching online today and you need prayer, or you need to trust Christ, whatever spiritual needs you have, if you call it 706-234-1841 and leave a message, a staff member will get in touch with you as soon as possible. Consider your chair here in the worship center as your altar. There may be some cares you need to cast on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity for him to do business with you, and do you make decisions that will honor him? This hope is going to lead us now in our invitation. Do with your life what you know in your heart God wants you to do.